state of Texas. Welcome to the Texas Homeschool Convention Show. The show is live, so please comment during the show.
Each week, we empower today's homeschool families with invaluable resources. Texas Homeschool Convention is more than a podcast show. We're a vibrant community, a gathering of people supporting one another in the incredible journey of raising the next generation of world changers.
Now, grab a seat, get comfortable, and join families throughout the United States and around the world as we dive into today's conversation. Live from Texas is the Texas Homeschool Convention Show.
Happy Friday, everybody. Yes, thank you. I don't know if you guys can smell it in the air, but spring is here. In Texas this week, it was like 85 degrees, then it was 30 degrees, and now looking at the weekend, summer is seeming like it's here, going back into the 80s and 90s. But hey, welcome. It's March 1st, and I am just so excited that you're here. I'm glad you're taking time out of your busy schedules, your homeschooling world, to come in and join come enjoy the show and join us. You know, I say it every week, but we're not just a show. We really want to start developing a community with all homeschoolers and then come together for an awesome celebration that's happening in Fort Worth. And I think it's 48 days from now. Can you believe that? I am stoked. And so today's episode is really exciting. I'm not going to give too much away, but we have some of our really good friends joining us today from Cajun Kids Adventures. Guys, these are like legit Cajuns. We love them. They come and exhibit with us every year. They're hosting workshops. I'm not going to give too much away just yet, but this is going to be an excellent conversation on what they're doing in the homeschooling world, providing awesome resources for you guys, and what you can look forward to in seeing them at our convention in Fort Worth in just a few weeks. So before we get into the excitement, I want to set the stage here. I am coming to you live from a Holiday Inn, I think, in Fort Worth, and our team is actually about to head to the convention center to do final walkthroughs, get ready to start making final plans. And so if you're not following us on Facebook or Instagram yet, would you go ahead and subscribe to those? Because we're going to be doing live stories all day, showing you the behind the scenes of Fort Worth, showing you the exhibit halls, the ball roofs, everything you can expect. And it's going to be awesome. In fact, just for, so you can laugh with me, I've got my laptop sitting on that hotel ice bucket to get the good angle. And so, yeah, just bringing you into my world. Drop comments. Let me know where you're watching from. Tag a friend. Let them know the conversation is live. And so now I want to introduce my guest. So this is Cajun Kid Adventures. So they have created this amazing series of books, which kind of mirrors their real life homeschooling adventures. And so they're coming into us today to talk about the series, let us know who they are, and to get you excited about going and visiting their booth in Fort Worth and in Houston. So put your virtual hands together, tag a friend and let them know that we're live, and let's welcome in my friends, Chris and Jade.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Hello. Welcome, guys. We're so glad you're here.
Thanks.
Good to be here.
Okay. Now, I set the stage that I am going live from an ice bucket prop up and a Holiday Inn. You guys have an interesting story because we want to know, are you like authentic Cajuns? So let us know, where are you coming in live from today?
We are sitting, it's a 45-minute boat ride from the to the nearest piece of pavement to where you can drive a car. We are 17 miles south of a little town called Berwick, Louisiana, in a houseboat out on the coast in the middle of the marsh. When we got the call this week that y'all wanted to do this, and it was like, well, let's see, I think we can make this happen. So we are here, and we had the blinds open behind us, but the lighting wasn't right. But we're having a little rainstorm right now, and so if it gets kind of loud with the rain on the tin roof, I would say don't let it bother you, but there's nothing better than rain on a tin roof. So we're actually sitting on our houseboat on the lower Atchafalaya River, ready to have some fun with you guys.
It does not get any more authentic than that.
the only thing we have to worry about is if the fish start jumping out front, you may be interviewing me because she's grabbing her fishing pole. There's nothing she enjoys more than fishing off the dock right here. So
So what I hear is that we might get to go outside and watch you guys start fishing is right in the middle.
It is a possibility. We may take you on a virtual airboat ride before the day's over with.
So. Hang on. That is, I'm here for that. I am here for that. Well, guys, thank you for joining in from your houseboat in the middle of somewhere where we can't even get to. Let's just set the stage. I would love for you guys to kind of tell our audience who you are, how you got into, tell us about your family first. Let's jump into that. Did you homeschool? How long have you guys been married? Tell us the love story, the full thing.
Well, we actually met out here, out in the marsh, at 18 years old. We've been married 42 years now. We have five beautiful kids. We started out our journey, I worked in the oil field for 42 years, never had intentions of becoming a writer. But we had this beautiful story out here, raising our kids out here in the marsh and the swamps. Mm-hmm. And we had people tell us all the time, man, if y'all could just bottle this up, then share it with the rest of the world. And it just kind of came to me in the last couple of weeks that I think that's what we've done. We've bottled up that experience of raising our kids out here. And with these book series is we've had a chance now to share it with the world. But I'll let her tell you about how we got started in our homeschool journey.
Yeah. So our oldest three children were actually in school at a private Christian school and phenomenal school. But when we first put them into school, I kind of always had this yearning that I kind of wanted to homeschool the kids. But then the Lord took us in a different direction and put the kids in school. And then the oldest one was very interested in being homeschooled because I had two at home in diapers and she didn't want to miss out being around them. So we did one. And then I said, I can do everybody or nobody, but I cannot do one at a time. And so we chose to take everybody out. And it has been an absolute amazing journey with us. And our children have had the opportunity to grow up out here and then travel. We don't just stay here. I mean, we've traveled all over the place. Matter of fact, and I think it's in book 8 and 9, it's called The Blue Water Adventure. And, just a little snippet is the, father in the book series gets an opportunity to bring a boat, a large boat, from Florida to the Bahamas. And so in that series, it's a two-part series. The kids get to do the journey in the Bahamas, and we actually did that. So there's lots of great adventures to come in the series, but our homeschooling journey has been an honor and a blessing. And, you know, some days, like I told y'all a little bit ago, the goal was to possibly not microwave my coffee more than 3 times and for them to graduate without wearing diapers. And I was successful in both. So, you know, you got to decide where you set your goals at.
I love that. Graduating, not wearing diapers. And you said you accomplished that goal. So they must be all done with homeschooling, out of the house.
Absolutely.
They're all out.
We finished. Our youngest is 22 and he is married. He's the only one that's married. The others are not. So we haven't homeschooled for 4 years.
Yep. Okay. Well, hey, congratulations, guys. You did it. They're out of the house. They're not in diapers. Like, hats off to you guys.
That's
for doing all of that. So in the middle of all of this, people always told you they wish you could bottle this up and kind of tell your story. What made you actually say, like, we want to write books about our life? Can you talk us through, like, your thought process of how you started thinking about doing this?
Well, I started out here years ago, right, taking little adventures of theirs and creating little short stories. And it was fun because at night we'd sit down and we'd read them and we'd have fun. We went through a whole exercise one night where I let the kids pick their own character names. So the names in the books of the characters actually were chosen by my children, each of their characters. But I guess what made us really want to take the series to the next level, when our two youngest were in this reading age group, that kind of 8 to 14, they were avid readers. All of our kids were avid readers. Our middle one struggled at first, but became an avid reader later. We had trouble finding books. Mm-hmm. Everything was turning dark. It was sorcery, witchcraft, just getting really dark. And even though, a lot of those books are great, they make some great books, we just thought it would be fun to have something wholesome, something fun. But we wanted it to be modern day. but we wanted that retro kind of old school feel. And when you look at the covers of our book, it brings you back to those Nancy Drew, Hardy Boy kind of Boxcar Children days. We went with that retro look, but it's modern day. The kids do their school on laptops out in the houseboat in the middle of the marsh. And so it's that modern day kind of capture that in there to where kids want to be part of that, but it's got that old school feel. And we wanted to take that and just kind of share it with the world, because it's just, there's so much adventure and so much outdoors. And I know right now kids are just, they're frozen to their screens. And I wanted the kid to read one of our books and then want to go run, jump in a mud puddle. You know what I'm saying? Just get outdoors and do something.
Yeah, and just be creative. Yeah. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of, but there are a few particular programs that are designed for getting kids outside. And I think the other thing with the books is that Chris started writing these when our kids were still being homeschooled. And so he would write a chapter. We'd be here we'd be here at the camp with all the kids. And he'd write a chapter like after supper or something. And then before they'd go to bed, he would read that chapter to them. And then they just couldn't wait like to hear where the storyline was going. And so he old school, like he wrote it in a spiral notebook. And that's where the first three books actually came from. And he has them in spiral. But that was just reading to our children. So
I love that.
Yeah. And the Lord actually, you know, everybody has a different calling for their children. And for us, it was media. And so because of that, I previewed every single thing that was before their eyes or in any way, shape or form. And so we'd go to the library with a massive stack of books they'd come home with, but I'd have to preview all of them before I'd allow the children to read them. And that was a huge undertaking with five readers. So the main thing is, and Chris and I are very careful, is to make sure that we're able to reach out to the child who has a soft spirit. So none of our books have anything that, or like they're not killing anything or whatever. And although we are hunters and fishermen, that's not something that maybe one of our children couldn't handle it. And he was a boy and he's a huge hunter fisher, but as a child, he couldn't handle that. And so we just tried to encompass the tenderhearted reader, the adventurer, the boy who wanted to get out there, or the girl. One of the descriptions of the youngest girl in the series is Annie, and her description is she's just as happy playing with her baby dolls on the wharf as she is traipsing through the woods with her siblings. So, you know, you can be all that and more. So the books are, I'm just going to speak, he's the author, so I can talk about it. The books are incredible and I love reading them. And our audience, we have a lot of grandparents who are absolutely loving the series themselves, to enjoy themselves, because it brings them back to days when they were with their siblings, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a phenomenal series.
I love that. So how many books do you guys actually have written and published?
Well, we have four are in full print right now and out. Five comes out in about 8 weeks. That's called The Watchmen. And then we have six ready. We have six finished, but we have all the illustrations to do, the cover to do. That one will come out later in the fall. But we have 14 of them that are outlined, already started, ready to go. My publisher is pushing me for 20, but I'm not going to sign that contract right now. I already signed one contract with her that's kind of binding. And so I don't want to get into a second contract at this point.
We actually, we have our own publishing company. So we're not self-published. We actually are a publishing company, and we'll be taking on other authors down the road. I'm just going to say, if people out there who love the series want 20 in the series, y'all better start flooding these emails, because he is going to have to be pushed a little bit. But the books are so good, I don't want the series to stop.
And the fun thing about the series is we're going old school. Like I mentioned earlier, the children are never going to change their age. They're always going to be the same age. They're never going to grow up. They're never going to be involved in older situations. We just want to have that, just that, take those stories and just have fun. And the fun thing about these books are, especially if you had a chance to check the books out, there's a lot of fun dialogue between mm-hmm. the children, a lot of great activities. Most of those are true stories, especially the funny stuff. Because out here with our kids, my middle son was a clown, and he was the life of the party. I mean, the other kids just gravitated. And he was also the stunt dummy. Anytime they wanted to try to do something fun, if they were going to try something. So a lot of those stories in there, the opening scene of book three is hilarious. And that's actually based on a true story that he was their stunt dummy for the day. My oldest son was the inventor and coming up with all these crazy ideas. And Grant was always the stunt dummy. So
I love that. And what I love about you guys is, as you talk, the more and more you talk about this series, the more your face just lights up. Like, you are this series, you are the characters, because this is after your family, right?
Yeah.
And so I want to circle back to something that you said. You know, something that we've ran into even in planning our exhibit hall with authors is that, you know, we have to be on guard with our kids, right? And the books are really starting to lean way into the, like, new age spiritual sense, because we know that every book you could write light and darkness, right? That's low hanging fruit. That's how the world works, but we have to be careful. And so, you know, with you guys, we approved you to come in, and your books are so wholesome. Can you talk to us about, as parents, like, how did you navigate those journeys for your kids who are avid readers? Like you said, you had to go and read through dozens of books just to approve a few. Why was that so important to you? Like, was that part of your homeschooling? Was that part of just like your spiritual journey, your faith journey? Like, what made you want to do that?
Yeah, I think it was more of our spiritual journey. I truly believe that humans are progressive by nature. If we see something at the age of 12 years old, by the time we're 13, 14, we want to see the next level. So I believe that we need to protect our hearts, protect our spirit. Just life is, everyone's going to grow up and everyone's going to see the world. But I believe as a child, letting a child be a child, we have friends and we have family when our kids were growing up, and I can't stand the saying when they say, well, they're going to experience it anyway, so you might as well get them exposed to it now. That's not true. I think we need to protect our children and let them be children. My greatest memories as a child was running down the riverbank, going fishing, catching fish and cooking them over an open fire while camping out on a Friday, Saturday night. Those kind of things I think children need to experience. I just, for me, that's what it was, is just letting a kid be a kid. And that was important to me.
I think life is hard enough, you know, for children in this day and age. And I think that if I could go back and, you know, talk to my younger self, I'm so glad that I stood firm on a lot of things. And, you know, my kids, I'm going to say this, our oldest daughter was going to college, and we were in Louisiana, and she was going to a university in Alabama. And so she was hours away from us, but we had asked that she not join a fraternity sorority or join onto Facebook or Instagram for her first year. There's enough that you're hit with in your first year of college because she didn't do. So none of our kids did social media. And when you have five kids, the parents out there that have multiple children, this whole thing of everybody gets a cell phone and all that. We had one phone for our kids, and they only had it when they left us, which was very seldom. If somebody wanted to call the house, you know, we had landlines. Call the house. You don't need a cell phone. I know now most people don't have landlines, but, that's just a lot for kids to deal with all the social media, but I asked her not to do it. And she abided. And so when she was going back to college after her first year, starting her second year, she actually came to us and said, I'm so grateful that you asked me not to do that, because a lot of the girls that were in the dorm with me did not return because they would be up till 3 a.m. worrying about what somebody said or what somebody was wearing and didn't get their studies done. And therefore they fell to the side. And so also too, her maturity level was better in her second semester. So if she chose to do social media I felt like she could handle it. You know, everything's a timing thing with kids. And yeah, they're going to be exposed. You just got to bring it all in. But I will say, parents, you know, if you feel like you don't want your kids to have something, doesn't matter if their friends all have it. You stand firm on what you have. It works out.
And it's like you're leading right into my next thing of, you know, we talked a few weeks ago with Melanie Hempe, who's going to be one of our keynotes at our conventions about, she runs an organization called Screen Strong, and just starting to fight back against this cultural idea that kids have to be plugged in and engaged. Like, I don't know about you guys, but even as an adult, I'm like, I can't handle this level of engagement sometimes with just so many people in the world needing something from you. And so I love that, because the start of this conversation was you guys running with your fishing poles and chasing alligators and doing all the craziness. But your message is so much bigger than that to parents, because I know, Chris, you're coming and doing a workshop with us and talking about the role of fatherhood and things like that. Could you give us a small teaser of what that message in that workshop is going to be?
For me, it's a perspective as a homeschool father. And part of my workshop is going to be how being a homeschool dad helped me become a better person. When we started with our children with this, I'm huge on discipline. And I don't mean discipline as correcting, discipline as structure. And I was expecting something from my children. I wanted them to, we had this rule. They had to be in their desk at 8 o'clock. Even though we were homeschooling, there was a school time, there was a lunch time. And I began to look at that and looking at the structure. And I began to apply that in my own life and realizing that if I was more disciplined, if I was more structured, I wouldn't have to be working till 7 or 8 o'clock at night, where I could be there for supper with the kids. I could do what I had to do to have the weekends off. And it was that kind of, it's almost like we grew together as a homeschool family, mm-hmm. where we begin looking at each other going, okay, if I can do what I'm teaching them to do, then I can actually get a 50-hour work weekend and get 80 hours worth of work done. And, you know, when we used to talk about double day and at school, you know, with the kids with school, if we wanted the 4-day weekend because hunting season was open, we'd do 2 double days. I started double daying at work. I would do 2 double days and take Thursday, Friday off, because my thing was and another thing I'll talk about in my workshop was when I was off with the Jade and the kids, I was off. I would tell my guys at work, it's only an emergency if somebody's bleeding or somebody stop breathing. If there's a flat tire in one of the trucks, change it. You know, if somebody didn't show up to work, figure it out. We had to kind of make that rule of what was an emergency. And that's one of the things I'll talk about in the workshop, is that family time, we preach it to our kids, but I think sometimes we need to practice it ourselves. When we tell our kids, get off the phone, I think sometimes we need to look in the mirror and maybe go back to the log on your phone and see how many days you spent on the phone the day before. So just taking that and applying it to our own lives, you know, because just practicing what you're preaching with your kids. But for me, it was just the discipline I expected from my children, because I wanted them off for a 4-day weekend for the opening hunting season, was taking that discipline and applying it to me myself.
If that's not the most convicting message I've heard in quite a while, because it's so true, right? You come to our homeschool convention, we're going to tell you all the things about how to get your kids to do this and this. But sometimes as parents, we need to kind of be introspective and say, are we disciplined enough to do even what we're asking our kids to do? And so I love that. Absolutely. That's speaking right to me. Okay.
They are watching everything you're doing, and they're trying to understand, why are you telling me to do this and you're not doing the same thing? And I don't mean that, you know, you are the parent, and yes, you're going to be doing different stuff than your kids are, but there are some general things in there that we need to kind of look in there and go, hey, if your kids already said mom 3 times to you, and you know that they've touched you, whatever, put the phone down, tell your girlfriend you'll call her back later, or set a schedule and say, you know, hey, friends, family, I'm teaching. It is my job. And we're doing this until 4 o'clock. I can take calls after that.
Yeah, that's so good. Guys, we only have a few minutes left. Time's already up. It goes by so quick, right?
Yeah.
You guys came to our convention last year for the first time. And let me just tell everybody, they're basically bringing their houseboat to convention. It's the best looking Cajun represented booth. You guys have fish nets and marsh and all kinds of stuff.
If they would let us cook, I'd bring boudin, but they won't let us cook. So
I will take a note because Amy Kimber says you guys bring the best boudin to her every year.
She was going to bring her some more.
Yes.
Yes. She's going to love that. So in a few sentences, why should people come to our convention? You experienced it for the first time last year. I'd love to hear through your perspective, why the Texas Homeschool Conventions?
I think they should go because, you know, we started homeschool, we actually started 29 years ago and or 25 years ago, whatever. The resources, we were scrambling to try to figure out what to do. These homeschool conventions, since we've started 25 years ago and what we are attending now, especially the you guys in Fort Worth and Houston, they have so many resources, so many, I mean, things you would never even imagine. They have science classes for cooking and all these different things that are just so engaging. But if I had to just make one point, I would say encourage people who to go, even if they don't homeschool. I think it is such a plus for the non-homeschool community to go in there and see what kind of resources are available to assist them. You know, we're fortunate. We're preaching to the choir in the fact that we had the blessing to be able to homeschool. But man, just to share that with the world, what you guys put on in Texas with the Texas Homeschool Coalition is a gift to the world.
I'm going to jump in because I'm getting this plug in here. I will tell you, we do multiple conventions, and the Texas Homeschool Coalition Homeschool Convention, it ranks. I told so many people at other conventions that were vendors, y'all need to see if you can get in. Okay, so yeah, it's so awesome when you get there. You know, everybody is a community. They love each other. The spirit and everything about the whole event is so uplifting and encouraging. And there's so many different vendors out there, stuff that did not exist while we were homeschooling. But the thing I'm going to tell you that set it apart from everything else is when we got to our booth the first time, and I'm going to cry, but y'all put a little bag and it just had a little, you know, a couple of snacks and a water. That's not a big deal. But it was the note card that said y'all had prayed for us. That was the best.
Getting me now too. Come on. Oh man. Well, that is beautiful to hear. First off, this is not a paid ad or anything like that. This is just good conversation because we love our vendors, we love our exhibitors, and we love all of our attendees who come in. This is a discipleship driven event with homeschool as a focus. And so we love that you guys feel loved on because y'all go to dozens of homeschool conventions across the country each year. And we love that y'all still come back with us this year. You're going to be right front and center in Fort Worth and in Houston. And so, guys, make sure when you're at the in the exhibit hall to go check them out. You two will be there on site so people can come and meet you, say hello. Chris, you're doing a workshop. Guys, this has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for coming in and joining me.
And we will have hardbacks as well this year when we come. That's huge.
Okay.
And
Well, we will see you guys in Fort Worth in 48 days. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yes. It does not get more authentic than that, coming in live on a houseboat. And so I want to share my screen with you guys real quick for those who are tuning in live. Did you know that our schedule is already up on the website? And so if you go to convention.thsc.org, it'll bring you to this page. Click into Fort Worth. And if you just go up here to agendas or speakers, you can actually access the entire workshop lineup where you can see Chris Landry from Cajun Kids. He'll be speaking. And you can check out all 3 days. And my favorite feature, guys, is this right here. You can actually like things and start building out your own custom schedule. Well, that is all the time we have for this week. I will see you next week as we dive into a conversation with Dr. Walter Windler from West Texas A&M University. They are tagged as the most homeschool-friendly university in the state of Texas. I'm excited for that conversation. And hey, if you have not bought your tickets to come and hang out with us live in Fort Worth, you better get your tickets quick. We are selling like hotcakes. So anyways, with all that being said, guys, we will see you next week. Have a wonderful week of homeschooling. We love you. You are exactly the person to the job God has called you to do. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Texas Homeschool Convention Show.
We hope you are leaving encouraged, equipped, and empowered to take on this week as an intentional parent.
Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and never miss an episode.
No matter where you are in your journey, we are here to support you. Make sure to check out our website at conventions.thsc.org. Come join our community.
Did you know that we host in-person conventions each year in Texas? Join us in Fort Worth, Texas and Houston, Texas in 2024 as we celebrate 30 years of homeschooling freedom in Texas.
Use code SHOW10 for a 10% discount on your convention tickets.
This has been the Texas Homeschool Convention Show. Have a request for who you'd like to be on our show? Email us at events@thsc.org and tell us more. We always love hearing from you. We will see you next week.